Okay, so the book of Acts, don't really know a chapter yet. We'll figure that out when we get there. I'm not even sure I got a chapter written down, to be honest. Anyway, as we were reading, chapter 2 actually, chapter 2, verse 41, that's a good spot. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man needed. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we've discussed this a few weeks back, different sermons. One of them was unity, basically, and one accord. It's important that we have unity and that we be in one accord. But it's also important that we walk in our daily Christian life in uprightness. In other words, we need to strive for that. As I mentioned this morning and I have before, none of us are perfect. We're not going to live a perfect life. Every now and then you're going to get mad at somebody and you might think or say something you shouldn't. Amen. I got mad at my wife the other day and but really and truly that happens. We're not perfect. But now the next thing that, and we need these, we need unity, we need one accord, we need to do our best to walk in a life of uprightness. In other words, trying and striving to live for the Lord every day of our lives. We really do need that. But we also need, I told you the word started with a U. Who guessed it? Unction. Did you look at my notes? Now, unction. Unction is a different word. The word unction really means the act of anointing. That's exactly what it means. So, but to get that verse, we need to go over, hang on, well, yeah, it don't matter. You can leave Acts. Go to 1 John, way back in the back. If you find Peter, keep going. You'll get there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Well, actually, I want to start at 18. He says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let me expound a little on this spirit of Antichrist. And the Antichrist, we're not looking for him. Because I'm going to just be up front with you. I'm going to be gone by the time he shows up. But we live in a world, and our nation, unfortunately, has the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, you can talk about God all you want, but you can't bring Jesus into the equation. You bring Jesus into the equation, and it turns things wrong because it goes into a one way. You know, God, if you talk about God, that many ways. You know, the Pope, he's bringing in Muslims and Buddhists and Hindu and all of this stuff. And he's saying, well, we all worship the same God. Allah, and Buddha. No. God is God. That's it. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is God. All three, one. But when we bring out Jesus, because Jesus is the one that died on the cross for our sins, all of that changes. Because now you're eliminating everything else except Jesus. And that causes a real issue. But the Bible says, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say me and Allah and whoever else. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man coming to the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not with us. Now look at verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, the unction is the unction of the Spirit. It's the act of anointing. In other words, the word unction actually is taken from the word charisma, from which really they get the title Christ. Christ stems from that title. And it means the anointed one. We have within us, if we're saved, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have within us the anointed one. We have within us the Holy Spirit dwelling in here. Don't ask me how he does it. According to the Bible, when you get saved, boom, the Holy Spirit moves in. I don't know. But that's what the Bible says, and I have that witness that it did. So that anointed one, all true believers have the Holy Spirit to be their all sufficient, inerrant, an infallible guide into all truth. That's if we're listening. If we're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, as we grow in grace and we grow it with a relationship to Christ, that voice within us grows much stronger. Because I'll be honest with you, I have how would I put this? Over the years, I've gotten better hearing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. My hearing hadn't gotten any better with Sandy, because she rides on my right side, and I can't hear much out of this ear. Some people say that's selective. But anyway, and it's funny, too, because she had a problem with her left ear. So when we're riding down the road, she'll say, hey, and finally she'll say, hey, what? And if she ain't looking at me, she ain't listening. You know, because I'll answer, well, I didn't hear you answer me. So the stronger relationship that we have with Jesus, the more we hear that voice within us speaking, the more we understand a lot of things. But before we get into that, remember something that Jesus said in the upper room. The promise that the Comforter, it says, shall teach you, John 14:26, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, really, if you think about it, what happened after Jesus left, the four Gospels were written. Because they were listening to the Lord. The Lord, the Holy Spirit gave them direction, and that's where they got it from. They just didn't come up with it. They got it from the Holy Spirit. He told them what to write down. Now, let's go to something else. Remember when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. That's John 15:26-27. Now, this, I'm going to say, really is what the book of Acts, so to speak. If you go to Acts chapter 1 and you read that, it says, Luke said, hey, I'm gonna write to you, O Theophilus, about what Jesus both began to do and to teach. So really, John, when he was writing that, the Lord had told him what to write. Luke, when Luke wrote that, the Lord told him what to write. That's what Jesus was talking about over in John 15 before he was crucified. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you guys. He's going to remind you of all these things. We've got the four Gospels because of that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Ebenezer. Oh, no, Ebenezer ain't in there. My daughter always says she had children, she'd name them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Ebenezer. I said, where in the world did Ebenezer come in anyway? She's weird. So then he tells us in 15, he said, I'm going to remind you what I had taught you from the beginning, which goes into the book of Acts. And what did they do? The church that Jesus started carried on over into Acts. And then they started going out and being witnesses unto the world, and then ended up one day Wagon Wheel come to existence because of what they started back then. That's the reason we're here. It ain't nothing to do with some guy just got up one morning and said, you know, I think I'll come up here and start a church. That's where it worked. The Lord called a person to come here out of Lone Mountain. The Lord called somebody out of some church and showed up in Las Vegas, and they started a church at Lone Mountain. It's the same thing with all these true scriptural churches. Now, he says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Where do we go in the New Testament for things to come? We go to the epistles. We go to what Paul wrote. And that's what it's talking about. Also, by the way, the book of Revelation. The Lord spoke to John and said, write these things down. The Lord spoke to Paul and said, write all this down. Paul tells us about the rapture, which could happen tonight. Paul tells us about the coming of the Antichrist, which just as soon as the rapture happened, he's going to show up. He's probably already here. And Revelation tells us about what's going to take place in the rapture of the church, and then what's going to take place after we're gone. It's not going to be real good. But it also gives us the end of the book. Gives us the end of the story. You got this Fruit Loop, what's her name? AOC. All the world is going to end in 12 years. If we don't get rid of gas passing cows, I said that better, and if we don't get rid of airplanes, which by the way she flies a lot on, we got to get rid of all that because the world's going to end in 12 years. She ain't read the Bible, because the book of Revelation said there's going to be 7-year tribulation period. That's after we're raptured. Then there's going to be 1,000 years that Christ is going to reign here on earth. And then the end comes. So she needs to read the Bible. I was preaching in jail one time. They finally let me out. But anyway, I was going down to jail and preaching, and a guy, he come in, he panicked. What are we going to do? Some guy had determined that the world was fixing to end. I said, dude, I said, you need to read the Bible. I said, you believe what the Bible says? You believe it's true? Well, yeah. I said, well, all this got to take place first. Oh, thank God, I was worried. that's sad. Now, God is His own interpreter, to be honest with you. Just say it that way. In other words, the Bible is self-contained, and it is self-explanatory to a saved person. If a person's not saved, they may think they get it. They might think they understand it. But honestly, they can't. And to prove that, we'll go to 1 Corinthians. So back up. If you're in 1 John, go to 1 Corinthians. If you really want to know, you got to go to the Bible. The Bible will tell you. And we're going to go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 9. So, you get there, say amen. All right, that's the majority and we're not in Congress, so let's go for it. All right, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, I get that. I can understand that. But then he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. Before I got saved, I ain't interested in going to heaven. I didn't want to go to heaven. And the reason why, it wasn't because heaven's going to be a great place. But listen, I grew up in Mississippi. And not everybody's blessed. But nonetheless, I grew up in the South. I fish. Is fish the word? It is now. I fished with an E-D. I hunted. I hiked. I had a good life. I'd kind of just done. And all I ever heard from people was, oh yeah, we're going to go to heaven and we're just going to be up there worshiping God, sitting on a cloud or whatever. And I'm thinking, man, I'd just soon be fishing. Well, as you study the Word of God and you get that closer relationship, the Holy Spirit starts revealing things to you and you're like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, like I've mentioned the other day, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. What, we ain't going to just sit up there on the street of gold over on the edge of it and look down there at the new earth and say, ain't that cool? I'd say we're going to be down here. As I studied more and more, God's paradise, which was the Garden of Eden, that's what He intended it to be like. Well, I kind of like what Adam and what the Bible describes of God's paradise. That's a pretty cool place. Wasn't no stickers, no thorns, no mosquitoes, and no flies. And there was plants, and there was, it was a garden. Garden to me means things are growing, all of that stuff, you know. Hey, I think it's outstanding. As you read all this, that's how it starts coming across to you. What was that? 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus. There's more books written about Jesus than there is George Washington and Abe Lincoln put together. There's more evidence, to be honest with you, that Jesus walked the face of this earth than George Washington did. But yet, people do not get it. They do not want to understand who Jesus was. They can't. They look at Jesus as, well, yeah, he was a good prophet, but he was an unemployed carpenter. And they killed him. But you see, we that are saved, we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We at some point in our life has taken the free gift that God offered through His Son Jesus, because we figured out, Miss Betty, we can't get to heaven on our own. You're not going to get there on your own merits. And I sure ain't going to get there on all the money I got, because I ain't got much. Bill Gates might could get there quicker than me if it was all money. I don't know, is he already alive or dead? He's still alive, and he got lots of money. I couldn't buy my way. Well, that's what the Bible tells me. You can't buy your way. You can't do good enough. Because the Bible tells me in Isaiah that all my righteousness, all the good that I possibly could do on my own, is filthy rags. But through Jesus Christ, that all changes. Through Jesus Christ, all of my sins are forgiven because God's a righteous God. You remember, I've told you whenever Jesus died on the cross and He screamed out, my God, why have they forsaken me? If you really, really think about that, it's because God turned His back on Jesus while He was hanging on the cross. Well, that's sorry. No. Jesus took on all the sins that every one of you have committed and are going to commit. Even Jessica's little kids one day, if the Lord blesses her that she has children, He died for those sins. They ain't even here yet. God, He's a righteous God. He could not look on sin. He covered, but see, Jesus' blood covered all that. Whenever God looks at me, He don't see the sinful attitude I have or the sinful thought. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. It's like God looks down there and there's Jesus. And now He sees me. I'm righteous in God's sight. All because of what Jesus did for me. Now, where was that? Somewhere in chapter 2. Oh, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself judgeth no man. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, the closer we get to the Lord, the more of a relationship we have with the Lord, the more of the mind of Christ we think with. That brings a... I'll just say the Holy Spirit laid it on my... I'm not going to take credit for it. Hang on to where we're at and go to Psalm 37. Oh no, you can leave that. We're done with that. Psalm 37. This is what the Lord just laid on my heart. I mean, I have to look at it. I can't take credit for coming up with this. Psalm 37, it says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now good grief, the desires of my heart, listen, man's heart is evil. The Bible says so. But the closer we get with the Lord, we have the mind of who? Christ. Therefore, all of a sudden, my thoughts, His thoughts start becoming my thoughts. And when I pray with Him in mind, and I pray and I ask Him, Your will be done, not mine. Because listen, sometimes my will's not real good. All this mess, I'll just be up front with you. I heard all this mess going on over in Iran and with that Soleimani fella. And listen, he deserved what came to him. He's a wicked, evil person. And then they put an $80 million bounty on Trump's head. My first thought was, nuke him. God will sort him out. It'll fly B-52 over there. Pig, get rid of it. Is that the way we should think? Not really. We'd like to see some people get saved over there. We'd like to see some changes where Christians could come out of hiding and live and be... You see what I'm saying? The closer we get with the Lord, and when after I said that, I'm like, oh, that ain't right. Lord, forgive me for that, because honestly, it don't need to be that way. But He says, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Listen, the closer walk we get with the Lord, the better things are going to be when we pray. The more prayers we're going to see answered. Because we want what the Lord wants. That's the whole idea behind that. So, honestly, we don't have to go outside of the Bible, by the way, to understand the Bible. If a person wants to read some commentary to get some understanding, that's fine. But rely 100% on this, not what somebody in a book tells you. Max Lucado, he can't, bless his heart, he can't preach. But he can write a book. Man, he's good. He's a good writer. I like David Jeremiah. I like his preaching. And there's several others that I listen to that I like their preaching. But and I like listening to them. And some of them have written books. And I've read some of them books. But when it boils down to the, what do they call that, the brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, I'm going to rely on what the Bible says over what somebody else says. I'm going to go with that. And if I can't quite understand it, I got friends of mine, I'll call up and I'll say, hey, what do you think? Because I know what they're doing, they're reading the Bible. And if all of them varies different from me, I'm going to back up and scratch my head and I'm going to say, now wait a second. You got to pray a little more. You see, God gives us that unction and it'll come to us. Now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit really is the birthright, so to speak, to every child of God. Some people might say, well, I don't quite have that. No, not true. You've got that if you're a child of God, because the Holy Spirit is who is going to unlock the Word of God. He's going to open it up, all the wonders of the Word of God. He's going to open all that up to us. But it don't happen just like that. Because we got to build that relationship with the Lord. And as we get closer, we start understanding. Now, the cults that were in John's day, because we read out of 1 John, and John was talking about false prophets. The cults of that day, they claimed to belong to a special group of people. You know, we belong to a special group of people. We've been given the truth over you have. Listen, that's nonsense. John said all we need is in the Bible. We don't need another Bible. We don't need another book. And we sure don't need another gospel. All we need is the Bible. You see, the Holy Spirit, He wrote every word of the Bible. And He's both able and willing to unveil it, so to speak. Pull it off our eyes so that we can see the Word of God and that we can understand and get into the deepest mysteries. Listen, 20 years ago when I was studying Ezekiel 38 and 39 and other things, when I heard all of that stuff, I'm like, what? That don't make sense to me. It does now. It don't all come at one time. Listen, you ain't going to wake up one morning and just know everything front to back. If you do, it means you're going to be in heaven. We have to beware of false prophets. We really do. We got to beware of false prophets and these so-called charismatic speaking in tongues, which is gibberish, knowledge and prophecy. They claim they get these extra biblical revelations from God. Listen, if somebody tells you, oh, I got a revelation from God, you better back up. He don't give a revelation to God no more. It's all right here. We don't need that anymore. We don't need all them special gifts. Our attitude better be of skepticism. Listen, I've talked to Mormons. Those people, they're nice people. They really are, but they are so deceived. Listen, they want to bring you another Bible. They call it another gospel. We already read what that is. According to the book of Galatians, Paul said, if an angel of God brings you another gospel, it ain't. Because there's only one gospel, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. We need to back away. You be nice to them. There's nothing wrong with being nice. I think we need to be nice to people. But we don't need to fall for the mess they're teaching, because I'm going to be up front with you. It's hogwash. Listen, they've got a bunch of lies, and I'm going to be up front with you. Whatever they tell you, if it ain't in here, it don't line up with the Word of God, you don't need it. That's a fact. Now, Bible study sometimes can be tedious. Really and truly, studying the Bible, it kind of like somebody brings you a jigsaw puzzle. I'm going to bring you a jigsaw puzzle with 10,000 pieces of it, but there's no picture of what it is. That's what Bible study is. And what you've got to do is be sensible. Who, what, when, where, why. You've got to sort out all the right colors that go together. You know, you got to sort them all out. You don't put a leaf over here next to something that you've already got put together that's the sun. Leaf ain't going to match with the sun. It'll go on a tree, though. So you got to get all of this sorted out, and then you've got to start putting them together, and you know, they got that interlocking piece. I saw something on Facebook. It's a car with these ladies standing out beside it, and they got the doors open, and they're trying to put a mattress in the back seat. We're talking about a queen size bed. They missed it when they had them, you know, them little deals you can buy little kids, and it's got a round circle, and you can put a round thing in there. It's got a square, and you can put a square in there. Got a star on there, and you can put the star in. They missed that part. Listen, we can't take this and try to shove it into this. It's not going to interlock. It ain't going to work. And if we pray about it and we really get serious with studying it, the Lord says, that don't go there. That goes up here. This goes over here. That's kind of the way Bible study works. It's a time of prayer and reading, and yeah, you may have to jump back and forth, and but actually, you can have a lot of fun. It's like putting that together, but eventually you'll see it right. You see, the Holy Spirit rewards such diligence. It really does. Not only in opening up the Scriptures to us, but it's also in protecting us. Somebody brings some. See, the more we study the Word of God, when somebody knocks on the door, doesn't matter what group they are, and they say, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about this." That little bell inside, you know, all of a sudden you get this, and you're like, "What?" That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying, "No, no, 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 that ain't right," because you ain't heard it in the Word of God. You see, He helps us along the way. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him," that being God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, God rewards us when we truly seek His knowledge, when we truly seek His will for us. He honestly does reward us for that. He's not out there trying to confuse us. That ain't what the Bible's about. It's not about confusion. It's about what God wants us to understand. And He reveals it as He knows we can handle it. And as that happens, guess what? It all comes together and we get rewarded by the Lord. And that's a real blessing. So we've got to have unity and one accord in a church to grow. We've got to do our best, work diligently, strive at having uprightness in our life. And we need unction. And if we're doing all of those first, we're going to be getting the unction because we're growing in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand, and Sister Diane, if she'll come up, we're going to have an invitation.